Without any delay, I'll just introduce your colleague.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. As you know, brothers, and for those sisters, this is the first time we have sisters in the class. The session is our weekly class, which we have every Friday, and typically the book that we're currently studying is The Signs of the Hour by Ibn Kathir. But I thought that for tonight, since this was going to be a first session here at George Mason, and also because of we're coming to the days of Al-Hajj, I would talk about worshipping Allah in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. As you know, my brothers and sisters, that this is the 26th, today was the 26th of Dhul-Qa'dah. I mean, tomorrow is the 27th, and Sunday would be the 28th, Monday the 29th, meaning the first of Dhul-Hijjah will be Tuesday or Wednesday, depending if the month of Dhul-Qa'dah is going to be 29 or 30 days. And these 10 days have a special significance in our religion. For we find a hadith reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are no days in which righteous action is more beloved to Allah than in these 10 days. There are no days in which righteous action is more beloved to Allah than these 10 days. They said, O Messenger of Allah, even jihad in the path of Allah? They said, O Messenger of Allah, even jihad in the path of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even jihad in the path of Allah, with the exception of a man who goes forth with his body and wealth, and he does not come back with anything of that. In other words, he takes his money and spends it all to go to jihad, and ends up becoming a martyr in jihad. This is a great hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that in these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, which will begin, as I mentioned, either on Tuesday or Wednesday, there is no time in which Allah loves more or is better the good deeds than in these 10 days. Even jihad in the path of Allah. With the exception of one type of jihad. That jihad in which the mujahid goes forth with his wealth and with his soul and comes back without anything. In other words, he dies in the path of Allah, Azza wa Jalla. And so, And we will discuss this hadith from two aspects. The first aspect which I'd like to discuss in this hadith is the aspect of the importance of these 10 days in and of itself. And then the second aspect which I'd like to mention is the importance and the merit of worshipping Allah in these 10 days. So, what about these 10 days themselves? We should know, my brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, among his qualities is that he is the creator. And part of him being the creator is that he selects what he wants. So he selects of people, he selected certain human beings to be his messengers, to whom he sent his angels to spread his message. He selected certain places on the earth, like he selected Mecca, for instance, as a place where his house would be established for his worship. He selected also certain times during the year. And from this selection, of course, is this 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Because, as we know, there are 4 months in the year in which they are considered to be months which are, I mean, they translate it as sacred, but I mean, it means months which should not be violated. Okay, rather maybe the word sacred. And these 4 months are, who knows these 4 months, Ms. Lathan? Huh? This is all, somewhat to the answers, I think I heard 3 of the 4 months. It's Dhul-Qa'dah, which is the month we're in now. And Dhul-Hijjah, which is the next month, the month of Hajj, and the month after Muharram, and the 4th month is the month of Rajab. The month of Rajab, which is between the month of Rajab, which comes before the month of Sha'ban. So these are the 4 months which it is are months which should not be violated. Part of that violation was that they should not, you know, shed blood in that month. And indeed, during the pagan Arabs, they would not try to fight during these months because they understood its sanctity. This is something which was left from the religion of Ibrahim, alayhi salam, which remained among the Arabs even in their Jahiliyyah. Anyway, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose, you know, these months, and specifically, He chose this month of Dhul-Hijjah, these 10 days, Dhul-Hijjah. And that's where we find the hadith in Ibn Hibban, where upon Jabir, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that there is no days which are more preferred to Allah than the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And likewise, we find one hadith says it's the best days of the world, these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And one of the Tabi'een, Ka'b, who was a Jewish rabbi who became a Muslim, said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected from time those 4 sacred months, and from those 4 sacred months the most beloved to Allah is Dhul-Hijjah, and from Dhul-Hijjah the most beloved to Allah is these first 10 days. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to these 10 days in a number of passages in the Quran. One of these passages is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Fajr, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the dawn, and then He swears by the evenings of these 10 days, the nights of these 10 days. And as we've mentioned before in other classes, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by something, it points to that object being something great, something of very high significance. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by the dawn, which is a significant great thing, because when dawn occurs, the light appears on the earth. This is a very, you know, wonderful or wondrous thing that you notice in the last physical creations. And also in the spiritual realm, when the dawn occurs, what happens? Who comes down to earth at dawn time? The angels. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنِ الْفَجْرِ, that the recitation of the Qur'an at Fajr time, right? That this recitation is witnessed. Witnessed by whom? By the angels. And the Prophet ﷺ said that there are angels which, come down at dawn time and at Asr time. These are the angels which, you know, guard over you and write your deeds. They switch during these 2 times. So this is something, I mean, great. Then by these 10 days. And what's the significance of these 10 days? Well, this is the time when Hajj occurs. And so this is a time of great worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's of great spiritual meaning. And for this reason, the righteous actions in these days have this importance matter. And this comes to our second topic, that righteous actions in these days. Now, this hadith shows us, the hadith of Ibn Abbas that I started with, that when you do a righteous action, in these 10 days is more beloved to Allah than in other time, without any exception of what the deed is. I mean, there's no exceptions to this, except for one type of jihad. And that type of jihad is the best jihad, because one time the Prophet ﷺ was asked, what is the best type of jihad? And he said, it's that type of jihad in which your steed, your horse, you know, is slaughtered, and your blood shed. So the best type of jihad is that which results in the mujahid going forth, and he is killed in such a way that also his horse, because most of the jihad throughout history and until the end of time will be on horses. I mean, this is what we see now is an exception to the history of humanity. And so this is the type of jihad that is the only exception to it. And one time, a man was making dua, and the man said, "Oh Allah, give me the best of what you give to your righteous servants. Oh Allah, give me the best of what you give to your righteous servants. So the Prophet ﷺ heard the man making this dua, and he said, then your steed would be slaughtered, and you would become a martyr. I mean, if you're asking for Allah for the best of what he gives to his righteous servants, that means you're asking Allah that your steed be slaughtered, you know, and that you become, you know, martyred on the battlefield. And for this reason, this is the importance of these days. So, the only exception here is this type of jihad. This type of jihad is the only exception, meaning that whatever you do in these 10 days, which, as I said, will start Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on when the sighting of the moon is, it is better in these 10 days than in the other. And so for this reason, you find that the Salaf, the earliest Muslims, used to pay much attention to these 10 days. For example, we find... I'm trying to think who amongst the Salaf. We find the narrator who reports this hadith upon Ibn Abbas. And let me see if I have it here. Anyways, one of the tabi'een, his name slips me my mind now. But when these 10 days used to come, and he's the one who's reporting upon Ibn Abbas that the Prophet ﷺ said that there are no 10 days in which righteous action is more beheld by, he would just, you know, be so concentrating and exert his energy to worship of Allah Azza wa Jal to the point where it was, I mean, that he himself had difficulty in continuing. In other words, he exerted his energy so much in these 10 days to the point that he himself had difficulty in keeping up what he put upon himself. And indeed, part of that is fasting in these 10 days. We find a hadith reported by the Prophet's wife, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is also the daughter of Umar ibn Khattab, Hafsa, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast all of these days. And likewise, we find from the Salaf, we find, for instance, Ibn Sirin, and we find Qatada saying that to fast a day among these 10 days is equivalent to fasting a year. And we find Al-Hasan reporting upon Anas ibn Malik, the Prophet's companion, saying that to fast a day is like to fast 1,000 days, and to fast the day of Arafah, which is the ninth day, is as if you're fasting 10,000 days. So how the Salaf used to consider, and that's just concerning fasting. And likewise, we find concerning standing at night, and I meant the and now remember who the tabi'i is, Sa'id bin Jubair, who reported upon Ibn Abbas, that they used to stand during the night and spend their time during these nights, you know, praying to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And likewise, they used to, among the acts of worship that they used to pay attention to is praising Allah and remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in Surah Al-Hajj, where he mentions about the pilgrimage and the acts that go on in this time, and he says, وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ, that they will mention Allah's name in known days. These known days are these days of the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And we find a hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the superiority of these days, and he says, so therefore do much saying of La ilaha Allah, and much takbir, much saying of Allahu Akbar, and much saying of Alhamdulillah. And likewise, we find that amongst the Salaf, for instance, that we find, for instance, Ibn Umar and Abu Huraira would go to the marketplace during these 10 days and would make takbir in the marketplace, and the people would follow them in takbir, and they had no reason, the narration reports that they have no reason to go to the marketplace just for this purpose. I mean, imagine, they would go to, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants his name to be mentioned, wants his name to be heard, so they would go to the marketplace, not to buy anything, not to meet anybody, not to talk to anybody, but they would only go for the purpose of praising Allah Azza wa Jal. And when the people used to hear them make takbir, saying Allahu Akbar and so forth, they would do so. And that is why Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal are of the opinion that audible dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal during these 10 days is something which is, the Sunnah points to its, or the acts of the Salaf points to its merit. So there's a difference that in the Shafi'i said only if you see those animals which would be slaughtered, then you should make the public the audible dhikr. But Imam Ahmad said whether you see these animals to be slaughtered or not, then you should make the this type of public dhikr. So the point is that when we pray in these 10 days, and when we fast in these 10 days, and when we read Quran in these 10 days, and when we make dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal in these 10 days, and when we do any sort of good deed in these 10 days, Allah loves this more than if we did it outside of this time. On the same respect, from the other perspective, is that when you sin in these 10 days, the sin is greater. You know, because sins can be magnified depending upon the place or the time or the person. The sin of the one who knows is not like the sin of the one who does not know. The place to sin in Mecca and Medina is not like sinning in elsewhere in the world. And to sin in these times where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to increase in worship and to increase in good deeds, also sins in this month are greater and are magnified. And so just as we must pay attention to doing good deeds, we must also pay attention to avoiding sinfulness in these 10 days. Now, somebody might ask the question, okay, why is this? I mean, why is this important? This all goes back to the issue of the purpose of our creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a great reason. I mean, why are we here on earth? I mean, what is this all about? I mean, why were we born? And why are we living here? And what will happen to us at our time of our death? This is all for a wisdom, a great reason. And I would think people, people who, I mean, come to a university like this, or people in our time generally who have some sort of information or some sort of knowledge regarding how the universe is, we find that there is nothing in the universe which is without reason. That everything, even what it might appear to be the most insignificant thing, whether in our bodies or in the environment or so forth, has a wisdom to it and has an essential purpose. And yet we are the crown of the creation, right? We can recognize that. And so therefore we also have a wisdom. What is that wisdom? It's to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinns nor men but to worship me. I have not created jinns nor men but to worship me. And this worship, as we have mentioned many times, is built upon three pillars. Three emotions of the heart. Love of Allah, hope of His mercy, and fear of His wrath. When we stand up to pray, we do so because we love Allah. And we love Allah because He is perfect in His names and attributes. And so therefore it leads us just to love Him because He's perfect. And likewise we love Him because of His blessings, which are innumerable. The greatest blessing being that of Islam. And similarly, we hope for His mercy because we all know that we will die and we will face judgment. And there's either paradise or hell. There is no middle. There is no difference. So as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. There is a party in the garden and there is a party in the blazing fire. So we hope for that mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla and we fear of His wrath. So when we pray, we do so because we love Allah Azza wa Jalla. We love to praise Him because He is perfect. We love to thank Him because He has blessed us. And we also pray because we hope that He is merciful with us. And we also pray because we fear that by not doing so, He will be angered with us and He'll punish us. And the same thing when we give charity, zakah, whether it's the obligatory charity or just a voluntary charity. And the same thing when we fast. The same thing when we make pilgrimage to Mecca or any other act of worship, whether it be reading the Quran, making dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, waging jihad in the path of Allah, calling unto Allah, commanding good, forbidding evil, being kind to one's parents, being kind to neighbors, even being kind to animals can be an act of worship, and so therefore it's all done out of love and hope and fear. And this worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, you find human beings are three groups. There are those people who worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone, and these are the Muslims. With the exception of those Muslims who are Muslims by name, but by deed, they fall into the other two categories. What are these other two categories? There's a group of people who are too arrogant to worship. They don't feel a need to submit to Allah Azza wa Jalla, either because they're too busy, they feel that their worldly affairs